And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, going around the world on behalf of Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Today, we're going to be discussing a very interesting topic. It comes out of the New Testament, out of the Bible, out of the book of Revelation. It's from the letters to the churches, or the church ages, so-called. This is Jesus Christ speaking, and he has a lot to say to you and me today. Well, if you don't think so, you listen up, because we're going to be looking at America, and you're going to see an America that perhaps is different than you think. Perhaps it's, well, we'll evaluate America in light of the book of Revelation. Now, in the book of Revelation, of course, we find John, the apostle, on the island of Patmos, and he receives a visitor and a vision. Who is this visitor? Well, it's none other than our Lord and Savior. Verse 17 of chapter 1 says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Oh, yes. He's the Alpha and Omega, friends. He's the first, and he's also the last. He's the Son of God, and he is God. Okay, well, I just added those little bits in myself. But you understand, if you've listened to this ministry any time at all. Now, Jesus said unto John, he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Think of that. It's sort of a riddle, isn't it? He lives, but he was dead. "And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Friends, what are the two things you are to fear most in the world? It's hell and death. Well, at least the devil thinks you're going to fear those things. That's what he's causing most of the world to fear. And believe me, at the time a person leaves this earth, their spirit leaves this body, they will be considering these two elements, hell and death. Now, some people won't worry about them at all. I'm not going to worry about them at all. I've already got it past me. I know, I know where I'm going. But for the people of this earth, the greater number of inhabitants, they're worried about hell and death. And this person, Jesus Christ, is introducing himself as the one who has the keys of hell and death. If you're in hell, he can get you out. He can open it up. Or he can throw you in there. That's why Jesus told his disciples, "Fear not he who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and throw you in hell." Well, now, then he begins to speak to these various churches. And the message to Laodicea concerns us today. I believe this is the church age we're involved in. Every one of these churches, you'll find America today, and you know, the message to Philadelphia, the message to the church at Sardis, at Thyatira, and on. But the message to Laodicea is extremely important. If you want to know America, we're stuck in this Laodicean age. Now, I want to read what it says here. Here's what Jesus said to John. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." In other words, this is what Jesus says. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Let's stop for a moment, friends. You say, well, I try to be a good Christian, but, you know, and then you're going to give me a litany of things where you just really can't. The world comes in and, you know, you're tempted to sin and blah, blah, blah. And so finally you just become nothing but a pew sitter. Oh, I go to church on Sunday, but doesn't really matter to me. And you know, my friends, that most people go to church and then they do whatever in hell they want during the week. But they're there on Sunday or Saturday or whenever. They're lukewarm. They're not hot for God. They're not on fire for Christ and his doctrine. They're neither cold nor hot. Well, now, let's not get so worried about the New World Order. Let's not worry about what Jesus said in the book of Revelation or in the book of Daniel. You know, prophecy has a lot of interpretations. Let's not even talk about it. Let's not talk about the Jews. We could make them mad. We could offend the homosexuals. Let's just keep that quiet. That's not for us. Let's not talk about sin and shacking up and all those things. Let's just everybody get along. Hey, folks, these people are not hot nor cold. They're lukewarm. They appear to be Christian, but they're caught in some kind of a psychological cognitive dissonance. They're double-minded is what they are. Double-minded. They want to be politically correct, don't they? And God says, I don't like that. I would prefer you to be cold or hot. You think, well, I'm a good Christian. I go to church on Sunday and I give a donation periodically and, you know, yeah, I'm a good person. No, you're not good at all. You're evil. You're worse than the it would be better for you to be cold. Just be cold. Come on. If you're going to go to church and play around, don't go to church. You're bringing destiny, a bad destiny on yourself. Don't you realize that? It's better not to go. It's better to stay home. If you're cold, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be lukewarm. God wants you to be hot or cold. He'd prefer you to be hot. But if not, at least be cold. I know you say, well, it's better to be lukewarm, isn't it? Well, no, it's not. And if you are lukewarm, he will spew you out of his mouth. Joel Osteen from Houston was interviewed recently. What do you think about homosexual marriages? Well, you know, I don't like to go there. I don't believe in them, but, you know, I don't want to bring that into my church. People know I talk about other things, about the good life, about how God wants to bless us and prosper us. I don't really want, you know, that divides people. And he's lukewarm. Well, yeah, I believe in, you know, man should marry a woman, but I don't want to make anybody offended. I don't want to get anybody mad. Let's talk about prosperity and feel good stuff, okay? I'm making millions of dollars for my books on those subjects. That's what everybody wants to hear. I mean, it's only those little old bitty fundamentalist churches that talk about those kinds of things. They haven't got any audience. I've got a giant audience. Then there's Rick Warren, Saddleback Community Church in California. He's got a gigantic audience. He's written the Purpose-Driven Church and all that. He was asking about it, and he says, you know, I'm not sure about homosexuality. I'm not sure about that. But, you know, I don't want to divide people, so I'm just not going to preach that either. I'm not sure about. And then the Pope, they asked the Pope. He's head of the largest Christian church, the Roman Catholic Church. They ask him about homosexuality, and he says, well, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? Hey, you don't need to judge anything. You need to tell people what God judges. You're to tell people what the Bible says, you idiot. Did you call him an idiot, the Pope? Yes, I call him an idiot. I mean, that's asinine. What do you mean, who am I to judge? Every Christian should judge. God has given you the Holy Spirit so you can judge. If you don't judge, you're a lukewarm idiot. Well, the Pope recently brought in one of the leaders of the Palestinians in to pray for peace, a Muslim. He brought him into the Vatican, right into the Church of St. Peter, so-called. St. Peter's Cathedral there, this gigantic, monstrous church. But he also brought in the one of the leaders of Israel, of Judaism, and he came in and he prayed. And all three of them prayed, the Muslim, the Jew, and the Christian. Hey, there we have the beginnings of the world church, don't we? They all come together to pray together. The devil's people. What are they? They're lukewarm. If I were a good Muslim, I wouldn't go preach with a Jew. I wouldn't pray with a Jew. I would have nothing to do with the Pope if I were a good Muslim. But there's no such thing as a good Muslim, of course. If I was a good Jew, I wouldn't stick around. I wouldn't go to the Vatican and pray with Christians and Muslims. But there's no such thing as a good Jew. Now listen to this, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Look at America. We're the richest country in the world, aren't we? Hey, we pay out billions around the world. We're in 150 countries, our military forces. We're conducting several wars at once. And, you know, everybody's frightened of us and our military and our diplomatic power. We're the oil giant of the world. Just took 3 or 4 years of effort and bingo. We're the number one oil, you know, country of the world. Oil. That brings wealth. But we're also number one in high tech, aren't we, with Apple and Facebook and Google and so forth. But as we grow richer and richer and have need of nothing, our evil grows exponentially within our nation. And God gives us a warning, is because you say, I'm rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Hey, you think you've got all the nice clothes and the cars and the high-tech equipment and the stereos and all that, and a new video game comes in, and you go down and wait 3 blocks long line, waiting in line to get your new video game, and you listen to the newest rock album or the rap album or whatever, and you love it when they talk about, you know, the most sexually disgusting, loathing things. But you love it, don't you? And you see all these, you know, low-rated movies about, well, I could go on and on. You know what I'm talking about. But you say, what else do I need? You know, young women giving their bodies to boys and taking pictures of their breasts and sending them on the phone. And they think, well, I'll take a picture of my breasts showing I'm sexy. I'll take a selfie picture, I think they call those things, send it to my boyfriend. How long is he going to be your boyfriend? A week, a month, 6 months? And then the picture is going to be everywhere on the internet. Forever and ever. It doesn't leave. And 10 or 15 years from now, you get married, you have a nice family. And by the way, your husband gets that picture. Somebody say, hey, I was just sort of scouting the internet, Jack, and I saw a picture of your wife. Ha, ha, ha. Man, she's half naked. She's pretty cute. She's pretty sexy. She's pretty wild. She's a vixen. She's a slut. She's a whore. Well, I didn't know my picture was going to be flooded all over the internet. How was I to know that? How were you not to know it, young lady? Of course. Well, my boyfriend seemed like a nice guy. He wasn't hot for God, but he wasn't cold either. He and I even went to church together. Verse 18 says, I counseled thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Buy from me gold tried in the fire, so you can be rich. In other words, rich spiritual. This is spiritually. This is spiritual gold. This is gold from God. But he doesn't give you a Mercedes or a Lamborghini or Bentley or whatever cars at the top of the line right now. He doesn't give you some fancy apartment or home. All these material goods. He says, and buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Hey, you think you got good eyes? You go see all the movies, and you keep up with everything, and you see the young men and their sexy apparel, and the women. Hey, your eyes need eye salve, so you can see the things that matter. Because, friends, I don't know how long you've got on this earth, and you don't either. You could have 20 years, 30 years, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and then you're gone forever, one place or another. Jesus says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Have you ever been rebuked and chastened by God? You say, well, no, God's never rebuked and chastened me. Well, that's because he doesn't love you. That's because he doesn't care for you. He's neglecting you. You don't love him. He doesn't love you back. You're neither hot nor cold. What? He's going to spew you out of his mouth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. If you've been chastened by God, I've been chastened many times. I sit around and say, boy, I sure brought that on myself. Man. If I had just paid attention to the word of God, I wouldn't have got in trouble there. This wouldn't have happened to me. That wouldn't have happened to me. God is chastening me. This is for my good. He's rebuking me. If I listen very closely, I can understand what God is saying. And I go to God on my knees. I say, I'm sorry, Lord. Boy, I messed up and I'm really sorry. I repent of that. Help me. Forgive me. But if you don't ask God for forgiveness, repentance, why should he consider you? He's got other sons and daughters. They'll obey him. Number 20, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This is the promise of God. He stands at the door and he knocks. If you hear his voice, he'll open the door. He will come in and sup with you. You'll be God's friend. Verse 21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with thy Father in his throne. You want to be an overcomer, friends? You're not going to be an overcomer because you've got the newest Apple telephone, or you got the newest video game, or you got the newest clothes, or the newest rap album. That's not going to make you an overcomer. You're a loser. There used to be a poster back about 20 years ago, came out, was very popular, sold millions of copies. Showed a huge mansion. It was like a aerial photo of this huge mansion, and there was a huge driveway. It was a big estate, and there was a Rolls Royce parked in the driveway. And the poster said, he that has the most toys when he dies wins. He that has the most toys when he dies wins. And I thought of that. That's what the world believes. If you've got a Mercedes, you've got a fat cat job, you got millions of dollars in the bank, if you got a big estate and material goods and a lovely man or woman and servants and all those things, you know, you're like a Warren Buffett or a Bill Gates or a Michael Dell or one of these rich billionaires, then you've got the most toys. Maybe you got the most yachts, the most big cars, the most... You're increased, you're rich, you're increased with goods. You don't have need of anything, do you? You have the most toys. But what does God say? Way back here in verse 17. You don't know that you're wretched. You don't know that you're miserable. You're poor. You're blind. You're naked. That's what he sees. You're not invited to his feast up in heaven. He's going to have a huge banquet in heaven. And you're not invited, friends. And if you're going to go in uninvited, you say, well, I've had all these things. Surely he'll invite me. And you show up at the banquet. He's going to go to you and say, excuse me, sir, but what are you doing here at my banquet? You don't have the clothes. You don't have the raiment to wear to be here. Who invited you? He's going to call for his servants and say, these people came here without invitation. Throw them out. Cast them out of the kingdom. Well, I got billions. I own a company. You can't do that to me. What is money to God? What are goods to him? Nothing. Don't think that you can talk your way out of it or show your way out of it or get what you want because you're rich with goods. God makes things. He creates things. He manufactures out of thin air anything he wants. He owns a whole galaxy. What does he need your crummy little stuff for? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now there's an invitation. Come and sit with me in my throne. I like that. Now, I'm not going to ask for that. If God invites me to his throne, that's great. I'll go there. But I'm going to stay down below. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to prostrate myself before him. And then if he invites me, that's great. But I'm not going to invite myself. Now, that's the Laodicean church. Neither hot nor cold. But they have massive mega churches everywhere. Growing in numbers, but not holiness, not spirituality. Now, what does God do with the rich? They've got riches. They've got their own reward, don't they? There they are. You've got your reward. And James, read James, it's great. James chapter 1 and chapter 2. God hath chosen the poor of this world rich in faith. You want to be rich? Then have faith in God. Have faith in God. You'll be Abraham's seed and heirs of the promises of God. Galatians 3 verse 29. And God chooses these. You're God's chosen. You hear about the chosen. It's not the Jews. It's the people who are rich in faith. Rich in faith. Who do you have? You got to have faith. You got to have an object for your faith. You can't just have faith in your faith. That's what the prosperity preachers say. Have faith in your faith. What does that mean? No, you got to have faith in God. You got to have an object for your faith. Are you chosen? Are you chosen? Listen to me, friends. Well, no, only the Jews are chosen. Okay, you're not chosen. You're going to hell. Get over there with the goats. Go over there with the serpents. You're not hot or cold. I don't have time for you. I'm sorry, I don't. I'm going to preach some to you, but I can't take all my time with you. You either accept it or you don't. There's a time in heaven when there's silence. There's silence for a time in heaven. There's no preaching going on. There's no evangelism going on. Maybe that's the world we're moving into, an age without any evangelism, without any proselytizing. I mean, they're making it against the law to proselytize, to tell people. I mean, you're a Christian predator, the Pentagon says now, if you tell people in uniform about Jesus. They cannot allow that. That's politically incorrect. They don't allow that anymore. The street preachers are all getting put in jail. They're going out on the corners and telling people about Jesus. That's not right. That's politically incorrect. Where do you see the rich preaching to the world? Can you show that to me, friends?
Well, now, Billy Graham.
Ah, yes.
He was loved by the world. All the world loved him. Yeah.
What does that tell you? The world does love its own. If the world loved Tex Mars, I'd really be worried. In fact, sometimes I do worry. I've got it made too much. Maybe I need the police to come down and take some of my goods. Maybe if I walked everywhere, I'd be in better shape. Maybe I'd be in good condition. You know, I've got a couple of suits. In fact, I've got two, three. Well, one of them doesn't fit me. It's a little too small. I've got about two suits that I wear back and forth all the time, one or the other. What if they were taken away from me? Hey, that'd be okay with me. I don't like to wear a tie anyway. I'll just wear a T-shirt. In fact, that's what people find out about me when they come to visit me here. In fact, while I'm talking to you right now, I have on a T-shirt and a pair of Dockers. This is an expensive T-shirt, though. I think it costs $3.98 or something like that at Walmart. My wife says, why don't you buy clothes that are better? I don't have time for that. I'm busy. She says, you've only got two pairs of shoes, and both of them are the same type. You bought them at Sass Shoes. Yeah, I didn't know anything about Sass Shoes, but I went there, and they're really comfortable. That's what I bought. A pair of Sass Shoes doesn't look as good, you know, if you're wearing a sport coat or a suit. But I like it. They're comfortable. Now, God hath chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. The poor! Why didn't he choose the rich? I once asked God that. What can I do for you, Lord? I'm pretty worthless. Why didn't you choose somebody that rich, had a big denomination, a church? I just can't do this. And I'm put up on all these enemies out there battering me day by day. Well, God basically said, shut up. I chose you because I knew you'd do it. It's okay. He knew I would do it. Now, if you're poor, bless God. Thank God. Thank you for making me poor. Thank you for giving me the minimum, the shelter, the home, the love that I need. And people do need love. They need to be loved. Now, if you're hated by the world, you know why the world hates you. Because it hated Jesus before you. Are you any better than him? No, no, you're not. We know who has the money of this world, friends. Satan offered Christ the kingdoms of this world, and they were his to give. And Christ said, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God. Get away from me. Simon the magician, in the Bible we read, he offered the apostles money for the Holy Spirit. That's how they knew he was evil. When he offered the money for the Holy Spirit. Read what happened to Simon. Read what they said about him. The silversmiths at Ephesus who worshiped Diana were angered because people began to believe in Jesus. And when they did, they got rid of the idols. They didn't want the silver idols of the silversmiths. They got angry. Now, America's a strange place. I was reading about some of the things that are going on. I want you to hear about these things. When we return in just a minute, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's called liberal America. I call it Laodicea America. In Laodicea America, some of the things that are going on, you won't believe them. They're absolutely insane, this country. You can either have the mind of Christ and go sane, or you can go insane. And we'll talk about what insanity means. It means you're double-minded. You're neither hot nor cold. You're a Laodicean. Are you a Laodicean? We're going to find out when we return in just a moment. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. Do you have my book, Conspiracy
of the six-pointed star? Do you think you know what the Judaic religion really is? Everybody asks, says, oh, I know about Judaism. They worship the Old Testament. That's what they believe in. They believe in God, the God of the Old Testament. That's their religion. Hey, you don't know one thing about the Judaic religion. That's not what they believe at all. They have many gods and goddesses. They have this. They believe in the serpent god. Oh, now, Tex, that's just myth. No, I'm telling you what the rabbis are saying, the chief rabbis. And they believe they're their own Messiah. They don't need an outsider like Jesus. Why, they're going to lead the whole world. There's going to be a Judaic New World Order. And America's going to get them there. America's going to be the Gog, and they're from Magog, and they're going to conquer the whole world. And the things that they believe about sex and about the human body and about, they don't even really believe in sin. And guess what? The whole religion is focused on the things of this world. They're all Laodiceans. But you've got to study this thing. You see, I went to all the rabbis and said, what do you really believe? I went to their holy book, the Talmud, says, what does this really say? I went to all of the Judaic, you know, principles. And I found out, you know, many Jews don't even know what their own religion teaches, just like many Christians don't know. They don't know they're worshiping the devil by other means. It's an incredible thing. And I give you the names of the rabbis and their teachings. Now, if I could give you the names of all the Christian pastors that are teaching these things and tell you that Christianity was a religion of evil, you'd sure believe me if I could name all the preachers that were preaching it. Why don't you believe it about the Jews? I mean, this is an incredible thing. You've got to get conspiracy of the six-pointed star. By the way, what does the six-pointed star in Judaism stand for? That's the symbol on their flag. Is that the sign, the logo meaning 666? Yes, it is. How do I get that? Well, get the book. And you'll discover how God told the Jews. That was the symbol of evil. That's the symbol of Moloch in the book of Amos. And the book of Acts is the symbol of the gods Rimfan and Kiun. It's the symbol of the god Saturn, worshipped by the ancients, of Osiris. The Bible talks about the six-pointed star, and yet Christians are wearing the six-pointed star around their neck. Please, get this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's the most amazing book. It's just incredible. You know, I put this book out about 2 years ago, and it's just beginning to take hold. People are beginning to read this. They thought before, oh, you can't tell me. I know all about the Old Testament. I know about God. No, you don't. That's not what the Jews believe. I've had Jews who told me I'm a completed Jew. What does that mean to be completed? Well, I believe in the New Testament, Jesus, plus the Old Testament and God. I said, well, that's interesting. But do you believe in Judaism? Well, yeah, I just told you I believed in the Old Testament and you know, Jehovah God. Well, do you believe in the Jewish religion? You know, what gods do you believe in? Do you believe that Zadok was a god? Hesud was a god? Well, who's that? You don't even read your own holy book, the Talmud. It'll tell you about those gods and goddesses. Did you know that the Jewish god has sex with a Jewish goddess? And they have a son and a daughter, and they have sex together. Holy incest. You say, well, that's just terrible. And no, it's just Judaism. Now, I want you to have this book. It will shock you out of your mind. I get letters all the time from people saying, I can't believe it. But you, Tex, gave me the authority. You told me all of the books that I was to read about this. Now I know what Judaism really stands for. These are the things that they will not put in bookstores. Find Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star in a Christian bookstore. Why don't you go to a Christian bookstore and say, hey, why don't you shelve this book? It's authoritative.
it explains what Judaism is all about. Well, once they find it, it's by Tex Mars, they'll know, uh-oh, we can't have that here because it tells the truth. It tells the truth about the Jews. They don't want you to know what the Jews really believe. What are their doctrines? You'll compare them with the New Testament, and then you'll say, oh my goodness, these are evil people. This is an evil religion. And every religion is evil, friends, except Christianity. It's the only true religion. Okay, here's how to get your book, Conspiracy of the Six Point of Star. Now, let's see how much money is. I think it's, what, $30? $25, great. It is $30 in a bookstore, but it's $25 here through the ministry, plus add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. We'll get it right to you. Conspiracy of the Six Point of Star, a book that you will not be able to put down. I mean, it's amazing. About the atomic bomb, about Richard Nixon, about Spiro Agnew, about Harry Truman. There's history here. There's science. You'll read about DNA, the Jewish bloodline, all kinds of things in this book. Just phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Or go to our website, which is texmars.com, T-E-X-E. I know it's spelled weird, but that's the way it goes. TEXEMARRS.com or powerofprophecy.com. And by the way, when you're on that website, if you haven't listened to this week's radio program, tune in. It's free. It's right there on our website. You can listen in anytime you want to this week's program. You can even have access to Bible Home Church from that website. Okay, now our address is Power Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, when you write to us, consider us. Ask God whether he would like you to give a gift, a love gift, a donation, an offering to this ministry. That's how we stay in business. If you love this ministry, if you love the truth, then give to us, won't you? That's the way we're going to keep conquering. Now, if you don't give to us, okay, that's all right. Let other people get the blessing. Somebody's going to be blessed giving to us. I know they are, because God's going to let us stay in business. We've been here for many, many years, and I see ministries folding and going away. They fold and they go away. And they say, well, I just didn't have enough capital. I didn't have enough funding. Really? God's got all the money in the world. And they say, well, Tex, if you got all the money in the world, you don't need my money. That's right. If you don't want to give, if you don't want to donate to us, I hope you will. I think God will really bless you. He may not give you a new Mercedes now. Don't be surprised. But I bet he'll put love in your heart. I bet he'll put riches in your heart. He'll put happiness, contentment. Isn't that what we all really want? Give to this ministry, and you will get love. You'll get contentment. You'll be happy. You may get riches, though. I don't know. God does what he wants. He might, but he might not. But I do know this. Those who give will be blessed. Those who give will be blessed. Now let's return to our regular program. We're looking at Laodicea in America. In the book of Revelation, there is a Laodicean church. And boy, it's got America's name written all over it, doesn't it? Now look, listen, somebody sent me these things, thank them. It's called Only in Liberal America. Now what does liberal mean? It means you're apart from God. Some people call this, and they shouldn't, libtards. Libtards. Well, we just call it liberals or progressives. Anything but conservatives. These are people who are not nationalists. They're not patriots. They're not moral. They're not, you know, all these things, family. They're just a bunch of liberal cruds. But think about this. Only in liberal America could politicians talk about the greed of the rich at a $35,000 a plate campaign fundraising event. Isn't that true? Only in liberal America could people claim that the government discriminates against black Americans. At the same time, we have a black president, a black attorney general,
And a good part of the federal workforce is black. 40% of all federal entitlements, that's money, goes to black Americans. Three times the amounts that go to the whites. Five times the rate that goes to Hispanics. But we're prejudiced. How can you be prejudiced with that? Only in a liberal America could the two people most responsible for our tax code, Timothy Geithner, the head of the Treasury Department, and Charles Rangel, who once ran the Ways and Means Committee of the House, both turn out to be tax cheats. And yet they're both in favor of higher taxes. Well, only in America. Only in liberal America can we have terrorists kill people in the name of Allah and then have the media act against that by saying, poor Muslims, don't hurt the Muslims. They're worried that the Muslims may be harmed by the backlash. Wow. Only in America. Now look at America. In the United States today, more than half of all couples shack up, they move in together before they get married. Only in America is the highest divorce rate in the world by a large margin. America has the highest percentage of one-person households on the entire planet. Think about this. Women under the age of 30 in the United States, more than half of all babies are born out of wedlock. There are no daddies. No daddies. More than half of them. America has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the world. We're the most Christian of nations. Is that right? Come on. We have the highest teen pregnancy rate in the entire world. One out of every four teen girls in the United States has at least one sexually transmitted disease. Gonorrhea or chlamydia or syphilis or something. One out of every four girls has a disease. How about this one? There are 747,408 registered sex offenders in the U.S. Think of, right next door to you, there's probably 20. You probably drive to work every day and run in, and you go by the whole house of 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 sex offenders on the registry. America produces more pornography than any nation in the world, but we're considered a Christian nation. If you say, I love the Constitution, they're going to start watching you. That person is dangerous. They could do damage to this nation. They're constitutionalists. Watch out for them. Only in America. Did you know we have the most lawyers per capita in the entire world? We have more lawyers. Does that make us a good law-abiding nation? No. There are a bunch of ambulance chasers all looking to make a buck off of you and me. Two-thirds of Americans are dissatisfied with the U.S. system of government and its effectiveness. That's the highest level of dissatisfaction that Gallup has ever recorded. Two-thirds of Americans are not satisfied with the way our government performs. Only 8% of Americans believe that Congress is doing a good job. I could go on and on, but listen to this one. America has more people in prison than any other country in the world. More people in prison. The largest total prison population in the entire world. Why, we even, I found one case, we put an 81-year-old woman in prison for feeding birds. We put people in prison for all kinds of things. America's so smart that according to a Newsweek survey, about one-third of the nation couldn't even name who the vice president is. But they sure know who Miley Cyrus is. They know who Kanye West and Beyonce are. But they couldn't name the vice president of the United States. 36% of Americans admit that they have yelled at a customer service representative during the past year. Did you yell at somebody, folks? 26% admitted they had road rage last year. They did something on the road. Did you know that only one-third of Americans know what happened on 9-11? What about 9-11? What was that? What happened that day? They don't know.
Now, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, doctors in the United States wrote more than 250 million prescriptions for antidepressants last year. I think they just made people more depressed. They did. Children in the United States are three times more likely to be prescribed antidepressants than children in Europe are. If you're an American child, you're three times as likely to get an antidepressant medication. Then how about this one? In the United States today, prescription painkillers kill more Americans than heroin and cocaine combined. According to the federal government, the number of heroin addicts in the United States has more than doubled in the last 12 years. You know, we've got all these charities that give out money, but did you know that corruption is so rampant in our society that America leads the world in money given to fake charities, to hoaxes? And the tax system in America is unbelievable. You have to have a whole library to know what the tax books say. And they keep piling on the new laws and the rules and the regulations. I mean, every year, certain newspapers take the same figures, financial figures, and give them to seven or eight different tax agents at the IRS. And they calculate the taxes. And all of them come up with different figures of what you owe. How can you pay something that it's impossible to even figure what the tax books say? Even the tax agents themselves, the IRS, can't. They don't know what they say themselves. They don't understand the tax system at the IRS. Well, back in the 1970s, did you know that one out of every 50 Americans, one out of every 50 was on food stamps? Today, it's about one in five or six are on food stamps. One out of five or six are on food stamps. America. Are we improving? We're getting richer. We're having more things. But look at what's going on, folks. The war on terror is a never-ending war. We're fighting that all the time. Young men and women are dying, having legs blown off, limbs lost. There's homosexuality. Did you know that transsexual and transgender, that's the big thing now? Yeah. Our whole modeling industry is changing. I'm seeing now that the models are all they're putting out transsexuals and saying, this is the ideal model. Now, it used to be thin, tall women. But now the ideal model, they tell me that the modeling agencies in New York and in Paris and Los Angeles and everywhere, they're looking for transsexuals. Now imagine you're watching TV and Victoria's Secret is going to have a special hour showing you the new sexy fashion models. And they all come out and they're all transsexuals. Now, I haven't seen the ad, but I read about it. It seems that Toyota Camry has a new ad. And in this ad on television, they have a red Camry automobile. And suddenly this, what appears to be a beautiful young woman, a little bit thin, but very lovely, comes up. And she's wearing nothing but a silver pair of panties. Excuse me, a red pair of panties. She's wearing red panties and a little bitty red bra. And then she's wearing this plastic red overcoat that comes out and you can see her whole body. She has long hair. She sashays up to the car and introduces the new Toyota. And you look, and as the camera gets closer to her, you notice something. She does not have quite as many curves as a normal woman. Her face is a little bit masculine. And then, oh my goodness, you gulp. You can't believe it. Why? It's a little boy. It's an 18 or 19 year old boy dressed up to look like a girl. It's a transgender person. This is who Toyota's going to have to introduce their new automobile. Well, they're going to transsexuals are already on TV, but now they're going to be big time. They've been promoting homosexuality for years. Now they're going to be promoting bestiality and incest and all kinds of horrible things. and especially transsexuality. On the cover of Time magazine this very week was a picture of a statuesque, lovely black woman. And the article said, is it a man or a woman? That's what the feature article on the cover of this magazine said. Is it a man or a woman? It turned out to be a man. They said that's the ideal model for our time. Hey, transsexuals, that's, we don't know whether a boy or a girl are becoming voted as the prom queens in their high schools and colleges. Everybody votes for them and applauds them, etc. In Europe, they had a contest, and some person that had long hair, wearing a dress, but also wearing a beard, looked like a little bit like Jesus, a transgender won the contest. Tattoos. Everyone has tattoos, don't they? Men, women. They've defiled their body because the Bible says don't have any marks on your body. But everybody's got to have a tattoo today, don't they? When I was a young person going to high school or college, no one had tattoos. That was crazy. Well, people are crazy today. And drugs, marijuana is legal now in many states. Well, it's medical marijuana. Yeah, sure. Medical research now has proven that marijuana is dangerous and does permanent damage to the human mind. Young people especially cannot use marijuana because their mind is going to be damaged for life. I know of people that are in their 50s and 60s that are dolts. They're dummies. Why? Because they smoked pot regularly when they were young. And you know, do you remember all those arguments you had with them? Hey, man, marijuana ain't any worse than alcohol. It don't hurt you at all, man. Just gives you a little high. It gives you a buzz. It's great. Yeah. And today those men are walking around, those women are walking around, and they're stupidos. Meanwhile, everybody says, marijuana is legal now. That's great. Mm-hmm. Hard drugs proliferate. How about OxyContin and all these prescription abuses? Of course, there's methamphetamine, meth, heroin, cocaine. Every little town in America has a meth ring. I mean, it's astonishing. I was reading a story in Texas magazine about the meth rings in every little town. This sheriff took the reporter through rural America, and every little town they went by, they saw little homes and mobile homes that had been burnt up. And this guy said, wow, why are all these homes burning down? And the sheriff said, they all have meth labs. They make meth. It's very dangerous, and it burns up. The ingredients catch fire. You know, and these meth heads are burning themselves alive. Wow. Then there's sex. It's open everywhere on TV, and the movies, in magazines, on the internet. And boy, watch out for spring break. The young people are going to go to Fort Lauderdale or Padre Island, Galveston, Texas, have all kind of sex contests and so forth. Vulgar language, coarse, filthy jokes about bodily fluids and worse. And tobacco smoking, that's nothing nowadays. And women are addicted more than men. That's right, women are bigger smokers than men are. And parties, if you're not a party goer and you don't do the sign of the devil with your hands and put your tongue out like you're an idiot, well, you're not going to be very popular, they say. And then there's the family connections. Have you ever gone to a restaurant, everybody sitting around looking at their iPhone, their smartphone, their cell phone? They go out to eat, there's 3, 4, 5, they're all sitting around a table. They're not talking. They're not communicating. They're not meeting each other. They're all sitting there, and they're silently looking at their own cell phones. What kind of deal is that, folks? Where's the family connections? There's no familial love. They don't really eat together at home. The kids, there's no prayer at home. There's no thanking God for their food? Cell phones divide us. They do. They're divisive. But if a young person doesn't have the Facebook, they're just lost. I mean, how does a mother punish a little young teenage girl today? Take away a week of Facebook privileges. Oh, Mama, I can't live without my Facebook. Really? You can't live without your Facebook? What happened to all the kids, millions of billions throughout history that never had a computer? I don't know how they live, but I know I couldn't live. You can't live without your Facebook? Are you kidding me? And look at the crime. Stories of parents killing children and children killing their parents. You know, I'll never forget when I was about 21 years of age. Now, I know that was in another century. I know that was way, way back then when Tex Mars was that young. But I remember when I was 21 and I read this story. And it was about this teenager that killed his own parents. And it was like a shock. No, that doesn't happen. And then I began to read stories of how, you know, teenagers got mad at their parents and said, I hate you. And I heard mothers say, well, that's normal. That's what all the teenagers say. They tell their parents, I hate you. Let me tell you, friends, if I had told my dad or my mom when I was a kid, I hate you, I mean, my face would have looked like ground up hamburger meat. Give me a whooping, friends. You don't tell me you hate me. You're my son. Sons don't tell moms and dads, I hate you. That doesn't happen. I never would have even thought of such a thing. I can't even imagine a teenager telling their mom or dad, I hate you. Satanism, witchcraft is proliferating everywhere. Satanism and witchcraft is proliferating. You know, I'm watching TV, flipping channels. There's Wynonna. You know her, don't you? You know, the country singer. And I don't know what the pretext is, but she's saying, I'm a warlock. What's a warlock? A male witch. Wait, isn't she a woman? Yeah, she's a big female dyke, big female lesbian, saying, I'm a warlock. That's a little bit more, folks, than I want to know about that girl. Then there's Yoko Ono, the ugly ex-wife of John Lennon, singer from the Beatles. She's on TV being interviewed, and she says, I'm a witch. Well, she does look like one. I guess she really is a witch. In the Bible, there's too many versions. Way out there. We're going to have a great man on to give you the truth about the Bible. What version is really the Bible? I could go on and on. You know what I'm telling you, friends. America is rich. But within it's rotten. It's corrupt. It has become Laodicean. And if you are truly chosen, you will love God. You will be one of the poor of this world that's rich in faith. And I promise you, you'll be happy forever and ever. This is Tex Mars. We've been discussing the Laodicean church today. I pray you'll find out about the Laodicean churches and these other kinds of churches. And know about the church that God has set up, the church that will last forever and ever, that is headed by Him personally. Well, thank you, friends, for listening to this program. My prayer is you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.